Sister Kateri Mitchell is a sister of St. Anne, a Native American from the Mohawk Nation, and director of the Tekwitha Conference. Sister is on the phone with us today from her office in Great Falls, Montana. Welcome to the program, Sister.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Congratulations. Today's the canonization day of St. Kateri Tekwitha. It's an exciting time for Native Americans in particular, since for the first time, one of your own has been officially recognized as a saint by our church. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about the short life of St. Kateri Tekwitha.
Well, in her young age, she was given the name, which I find very significant. When she was born, she was called Sunshine, and her father named her that. So from that time on, she has really reflected, I think, the light, the light and the gift of life that she has received from our Creator God. And throughout her young lifetime, she became a person who had this light within her, and she herself wanted to express it, and I think she radiated that, because even among her community, her tribal members at the time, she seemed to have a whole different view of what life is and in the way in which she wanted to follow her path in life. Because she was so interested in knowing about her God and the God of the missionaries, she began in sort of a hidden way at the beginning, because there was so much opposition towards the missionaries, and yet she wanted to follow what they were doing, and requested at a certain point, a young age, probably around the age of, 18, 19, at least during her teenage years, to know more about the faith in which the missionaries were following, and to be able to request a baptism within the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So at the age of 20, she was baptized and given the name Catherine. And Catherine, translated into the Mohawk language, is Gadali, or Kateri, as we know her today. Therefore, that name has just echoed throughout, the country as Kateri. And then following her time of receiving, the smallpox disease, called her the Gahguita, one who puts things in order, because her eyes were affected quite seriously, and she wasn't able to see that clearly as far as her physical eyesight.
Right.
But the Gahguita continued to walk her path and try to live a life according to what the missionaries taught her, and then she, in order to be able to practice her faith in a safe environment, the missionaries encouraged her to move from the Mohawk Valley, Mohawk River, where her people were living in the village, to what is now Canada, and in that place she escaped really any harm to her own physical being, to be able to spiritually live the life that she was called to by the encounter she had with, Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament really meant a lot to her.
She was baptized at the age of 20, but she passed away at the age of 24. So really, you're just talking about a very short time period there.
Exactly.
Yeah. What year did she pass away?
She, in April 17th, 1680.
Long time ago. This is a long time coming for Native Americans.
Exactly. In the process of canonization, that first step is venerable, mm-hmm. because she only became venerable in 1943.
Wow.
So I think there's been a lot of prophesying going on to bring her to this point.
Sure.
So in 43, she was made venerable, and then the process continued, and it was only in 1980 that Pope John Paul II declared her beatified. So she has been known as blessed. And I know from 1980 to the present time, you know, at least December 19th, 2011, that people have been praying and praying for a first-class miracle that was required for sainthood, for Kateri the Gaquita.
Sister, how can our listeners get more information about the life of St. Kateri Tegwitha and about your conference?
We have a website, techconf.org, and that has information about our conference and especially information about her as our patroness.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also call us directly to this office at 1-800-842-9635, and they can also email, if they wish, at techconf@gmail.com.
And that's T-E-K-C-O-N-F, right?
Right.
Okay, very good.
@gmail.com.
Sister Kateri Mitchell, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum, and once again, congratulations on this very happy day.
Thank you so much.
Another American woman being canonized today is St. Mary Ann Cope. On the telephone with me now from her office in New York is Sister Shirley Peace, a spokesperson for the Sisters of St. Francis of the Newman Communities. Sister, welcome to Catholic Forum.
Thank you.
Sister, tell us about the life of St. Mary Ann Cope.
Well, Mother Mary Ann, as she was known, was born in what's now called Hessen, West Germany, in January of 1838. And about a year later, her family moved to Utica, New York, and where she became a citizen along with her family. There were many children in that family, and she had at an early age really wanted to enter a religious life. But she couldn't do that until around 1862, when she was about 24. She wanted to become a teacher, but her skills led her into administration. And she was responsible for, like, two hospitals in central New York. And it was really unique for its time, because they were among the first 50 general hospitals in the entire United States. She was also unique in that she wanted to care for people who were the outcasts, and that was kind of unusual for the time. So she was really kind of ahead of her time.
Mm-hmm.
When in around 1883, she received a letter from King Kalakaua of Hawaii, asking for somebody to come and look after the patients with Hansen's disease. So she had, she said she would go. There were 35 volunteers, and she selected six, and they arrived in Hawaii, in Honolulu, in November of 1883. She did so much good work there that the king awarded her with the Royal Order of Kapiolani for all of her acts of benefits and the things that she planned and developed to help the suffering people of that kingdom.
I guess when you get a letter from the king of Hawaii, you kind of have to go, especially if you're in upstate New York and it's November, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We make light of it, but really it was a serious thing. Hansen's disease is leprosy, and that is a terrible, devastating disease.
Yes, and nobody wanted to be around them,
mm-hmm.
and so they were outcast to one of the islands in Molokai on a peninsula, which is very flat and very desolate of Kalapapa. I've been there, and it's beautiful, but it is extraordinarily lonely. So they were there, and they had nothing there, nothing at all. When you may have heard of St. Damien,
yes,
who was recently canonized, he went there and tried to do to set up some kind of shelter and a form of religion, something for these people who had nothing. And he wanted sisters, but no one ever seemed to come. Mm-hmm. So about now, Mother Mary Ann arrived there in November, and in January she met Father St. Damien for the very first time. And then by 1886, Father Damien had leprosy. So Mother Mary Ann was asked to go there. She wanted to go. She had done a lot of work with the lepers that were in Honolulu. But when the administration changed in 1887 of the government, they again wanted none of them anywhere near, nor did they want any of the children who did not have any evidence of leprosy. Of course, it can take up to 20 years for it to show. Mm-hmm. But so who were going to care for those children? And so that is what Mother Mary Ann and the sisters did. They built many residences on Kalapapa, the bishop's home, which had many, many cottages for these children. And so they took care of all of these girls and the boys. Of course, the boys were at the other end of the compound. And so she spent all of her 80 years at Molokai.
When did she die?
She died in 1918. She was 80 years old. And she was buried there, right in Kalapapa, next to a little church, mm-hmm. and was then exhumed when the canonization process really got underway.
Talk a little bit about that, Sister, if you would, please, the canonization process.
One of the things that you have to have in order to be canonized is there has to be some evidence of a miracle of healing.
Right.
And by October of 2003, the theologians and cardinals and the bishops at the Congregation for the Causes of Saints then first declared her heroically virtuous. Then by April of 2004, Pope John Paul II issued a decree officially naming her venerable. Mm-hmm. Then December of that same year, after receiving a unanimous affirmation of the Congregation for the Cause of Saints, then Pope John Paul II ordered a decree to be issued authenticating a miracle that was attributed to Mother Mary Ann's intercession. And by May of 2005, then the Venerable Mary Ann Cope was beatified. Another verified miracle then had to happen after the status of blessed, and then that would lead to her canonization. So by June of 2011, the Vatican Medical Board then ruled that a second miracle case that was unexplainable for medical recovery had taken place. Then by October of that same year, then the theologians ruled that the second miracle case was due to the intercession of Blessed Mary Ann Cope. December of this past year, 2011, then the Congregations for the Causes affirmed that Blessed Mary Ann was okay for canonization.
Tell us about how our listeners could get more information about St. Mary Ann Cope.
Well, there are three ways. One, you could write, and it would be to the Shrine and Museum of St. Mary Ann Cope, and the address would be 1024 Court Street, Syracuse, New York, 13208. The phone is 315-422-7999. If you want to send an email inquiring information, then it would be all in the lowercase, Saint Mary Ann Cope at sosf.org. And the website itself is www.saintmaryanncope.org. MaryAnneCope.org.
Thanks for being with us today, and congratulations on the canonization.
Thank you.